Okay, so we begin tonight with Perek Vav. We leave the fascinating story of Devorah, Yael, Sisera, etc. Behind, and we move forward to our next shofet. Vayasu b'nei Yisrael hara b'enei Hashem. And the Jewish people did evil, ra, bad. And God gave them to the nation of Midian for 7 years. Now Midian is not within the confines of the land of Israel. So that means that you had invaders coming from outside which wreaked havoc on the Jewish people. So apparently Bnei Israel had, I guess, vanquished enough or significantly blunted the denizens and the residents of Canaan, but Midian, Midian comes in, and Midian subdues Bnei Israel. Now it's interesting that Midian seems to be like the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael over here, and plays a significant role in Sefer Shoftim going forward. You know, Midian, we recall back to the story in the Chumash, right? So where was Midian significant?
Well, it's came from the son of Abraham. So I know beforehand with there were other stories, but I'm saying.
But what are you thinking of?
No, I'm just saying, because it's interesting how the sons of Abraham were not through the direct line, always come to plague us. But is a son of Keturah, right? So
okay, so the big story of Midian.
Abraham's second wife.
Right, but I thought Midian was Moab and Midian, not Moab and Midian.
Are you thinking of Moab and Ammon?
Ammon,
right. Yeah. So that's a different story. So we have Balak, right? With the end of Balak.
One of the kings that's the story.
If we go back to the beginning of Balak, Bamidbar chapter 22. Right. Bamidbar chapter 22, Pasuk Beis, beginning of Parshas Balak. Vayar Balak ben Sipporis kol asher asali Yisrael la'emori, and Balak saw all that Hashem did for the Jewish people against the Emori. Vayagar Moav, mibnei ha'am me'od kirav hu, and Moav was quite fearful, trembling before the Jewish people. Vayakatz Moav mipnei bnei Yisrael. And they were emotionally distressed. Vayakas literally means disgusted, but I think it means that they were in tremendous fear. Vayomer Moav el ziknei Midian, and Moav said to the elders of Midian, Atayelachachu hakahal es kol svi oseinu kilecho chashor es yarek hasadeh. Listen to these words carefully. Moav said to the elders of Midian, now the congregation will lick up our entire surroundings as an ox licks up the greenery of the field. In other words, we are going to be fodder for, horse fodder for that, for them. Ubalak ben Sipor melech leMoav beitahi, and Balak ben Sipor is the king of Moav. So Moav is reaching out to Midian to partner up against Klal Yisrael, who they fear is going to just rout them. And then the whole story between Balak and Bilam ensues. Bilam trying to curse Bnei Yisrael. Pasuk Zayin, Vayelchu Ziknei Moav Vizikne Midian. The elders of Moav and Midian went together to try to entreaty Bilam to curse Bilam to curse the Jewish people. Vayelchu Ziknei Moav Vizikne Midian. Right, and then we have the whole story back and forth. Bilam agrees, Bilam doesn't agree. They come back, they try a few times. Bilam tries a few times to actually curse Bnei Israel or do something. And then at the end here, at the end of Parshas Balak, we have Perek 25, Pasuk 1. Vayeshev Yisrael Bashitim. Vayachel ha'am liznot el benot Moav. Okay, the Jewish people settled in Shittim, and they began to go wayward with the daughters of Moab. You have the story of the Jewish people going off to Baal Peor. Pasuk 5 in chapter 25, the end of Parshas Balak. Vayomer Moshe Shoftei Yisrael. Moshe said to the Shoftim. Now, these aren't Shoftim from the period of the Shoftim, but it's just interesting that we have Vayomer Hashem al Shoftei Yisrael. Hirgu ish anashav anitzmadim leval peor. Kill all the idol worshippers that are affixing themselves to the Baal Peor. V'hinei ish mibnei Yisrael ba, v'yakrev el achav es hamidyanis le'enei Moshe le'enei kol adayis b'nei Yisrael, v'heima bochim pesach ha'ohel. And a man of B'nai Yisrael came and brought a Midianite woman near to his brothers in the sight of Moshe and in the sight of the entire assembly. And they were weeping at the entrance of the tent of the meeting. Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen. And Pinchas sees what's going on here. Right? You know, this really brazen act. It's chutzpah of the highest order. One thing, you want to go off and do something in the privacy of your own bedroom, that's one thing. But right, you know, in front of everybody, it's rather brazen. And here's the famous story that Pinchas ben Elazar takes a spear. Vayavo achar ish Yisrael al akuba vayidkor et shnehem et ish Yisrael vet aisha al kavata. And he spears the two of them. Vateatzar hamagefa me'al b'nei Yisrael. And the magefa, the plague, is indeed halted. So this is sort of our introduction, if you will, to the Jewish people and their encounter with Midian. Let's just read the beginning of Pinchas together. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe le'mor, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Eshiv Eschamasi me'al b'nei Yisrael. Pinchas assuaged God's anger. And as a consequence, I, God, did not take vengeance on the Jewish people. Therefore say, God gives thee a blessing, a covenant of peace, and a covenant of the priesthood to Pinchas and his children. V'shem ha'ish Yisrael hamuka, asher huka es hamidyanis, Zimri ben Salu, nesi beisav l'shimoni, and the offending Jew was Zimri ben Salu, and the offending woman from Midian was Kazbi bas Tzur. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe lemor, and Hashem says to Moshe, Tzaroris hamidyanim v'hikisem osam. He says, harass the Midianites and smite them. Kitzorim heim lachem b'nichleim asher nichlu lachem al dvar pa'or v'al dvar Kazbi bas Nesi Midian achosam v'ayhi achari b'yom ha'magiva al dvar pa'or. For they harassed you. The Midianites are bad news. Kazbi, the daughter of a leader of Midian, their sister who was slain on the day of the plague in the matter of Pur. Right, so Midian is bad news for the Jews. Bad news for the Jews. So now we fast forward back to Shoftim. We're fast forwarding back to the future. Okay, so we're going back to the future here, back in Shoftim, by Yasu b'nei Sohara b'nei Hashem, and the Jewish people are doing ill in the eyes of God, and Hashem hands them over to Midian. So handing over to Midian is really like saying, it's such a, what's the word? It's so demeaning almost, right? It's really demeaning. These are the people that attempted to do ill to Klal Yisrael, who were vanquished really in a very terrible way, and these are the guys that Hashem is throwing his back in their hands. So it would seem to indicate a certain level of bizayon, of indignity that the Jewish people are suffering, just as a virtue of Midian being their overlord. And second of all, what it could indicate is that is like a midah keneged midah. Perhaps Hashem put them into the hands of Midian because they embraced Midian, if not Midian specifically, but the ways of Midian, right? Vayasu b'nei Yisrael hara be'enei Hashem. The Jewish people did ra be'enei Hashem. And he puts them into the hands of Midian. So it could very well be this is like a Mida Keneged Mida telling us that if the Jewish people are spiritually descending, then their affliction is going to come at the hands of Midian, at the ends. And it is a paradox, if you will, through Jewish history, that how many times in Jewish history do the Jewish people attempt to embrace the outside culture only to be and to succeed in it for a time, only to ultimately be rejected in the most cruel of ways. And just think, Chanukah. Chanukah and the Miss Yavnim. I just learned a word, and I don't remember what it is, but what it means is... right. You can look it up in Google, but it's a word that means a procedure to reaffix the bris milah, so that way plastic surgery to undo the milah. And apparently, this was a common enough practice during the time of the Hellenists you can't be more of a Hellenist than doing that, right? So at least for a man, and yet, although the Jewish people try to embrace the culture, the outside culture, without any filters. It happens over and again throughout Jewish history that the very beloved that we attempt to embrace turns out to be our worst nightmare. And you can think of other examples in Jewish history. The Jewish people assimilate to the nth degree. Only ultimately, and perhaps maybe you could make the case maybe that is an appropriate application today or not.
Hopefully not a Hellenist.
Right. This kind of Hellenist we'll live with. Right? So,
Well, I've said I wish I could just go back to my Hebrew name, but it's just too complicated. All the certificates and all that. Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, having said that, that is the introduction. What? Chai is a great name also.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's our introduction here to Perek Vav. Vata'az Yad Midyan al Yisrael, and the hand of Midyan is very strong in its oppression of the Jewish people. Mipnei Midyan asulahem bnei Yisrael et hamin harot asher b'harim v'et ha'arot v'et ha'mitzadot. And in fear of the people of Midian, and to try to protect themselves, the Jewish people dug caves in the mountains and tunnels and all types of fortresses, underground fortresses, in order to protect themselves. Yeah, so we're talking about people that apparently Midian that came in and is trying to be the ruling regime. There's some type of really routing going on here, that this is the only way that they can live is to hide underground. I mean, seems to be a rather vicious group. And the Pasuk tells us multiple times here that it's Midian. Vata'az yad Midian, mipnei Midian. V'haya im zara Yisrael. If the Jewish people were to cede the land, to attempt to farm the land, to sow the land, the Allah Midyan va'amalek ubnei kedem va'alu alav, then Midyan and their cohorts, Amalek and bnei kedem, would come upon the land, vayachanu aleihem, vayashchisu es yivul haaretz, ad boacha aza. In other words, these were people that came in and they were just decimating everything in their path. What's his name doing in Atlanta?
Scorched earth.
The scorched earth policy?
Sherman.
This seems to be Sherman's scorched earth policy.
Well, what the Palestinians are doing with those balloons and the fire.
Okay.
And all the crops and the, everything they did.
Right.
Yeah.
But this is a You know, but I would say that's a little different because that's like guerrilla warfare with the what they're doing from Gaza. They're, you know, they're trying to burn stuff down. This is the dominant power. In other words, you could be a dominant power, come in and be a benevolent autocracy dictatorship where, you know, you're taxing the people and making sure that you're getting the tribute and getting from the land, but you're in control. That would be one type of conquering. But what the Midianites seem to be doing here is something much different than that. They seem to be attempting to really rout Klal Yisrael. I mean, really just decimate, the people.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, it's the same type of hatred, whether they're in power or not.
Okay.
But it's like you were right. Saying, like it's such a.
It's a degree. Okay.
Right.
Heim umiknehem yalu v'alehem uba'u kidei arbe laro v'lahem v'ligmalehem ein mispar v'yavo'u ba'aretz l'shachata. So. So who wants to read that in English? That's a good pasuk to read in English. Pasuk 5.
For they and their livestock would ascend with sheep, ox, donkey. For they and their livestock would ascend. For they and their livestock would ascend with sheep. Or they ascend and they would come as abundantly as a locust swarm. Right. They and their camels were countless, and they came into the land to destroy.
Right. So the Navi is telling us in multiple ways. I mean, this is being described as locusts just eviscerating the land, eviscerating the place. So vayidal Yisrael ma'od mipnei Midian, and the Jewish people were dal. Dal means poor. They were impoverished. Became impoverished because of Midian. Vayizaku bnei Yisrael el Hashem. And the Jewish people cry out to Hashem. So, why the Jewish people cry out to Hashem? The Jewish people cry out to Hashem because they are being oppressed. They are being routed. They are being destroyed. They are being decimated. The land is being decimated. There's just destruction all around. Shachas. So B'nai Yisrael respond. But before we get to B'nai Yisrael's response, I want to just stay on the description of Midian for a second. Who in the Chumash is described as wreaking shachas on the land? So let's go back to the beginning of Noach, the last psukim in Bereishis, the first psukim in Noach. Okay, so this is chapter 6, the end of Bereishis, the beginning of Noach. So the people are doing bad. Va'elo toldos Noach, va'yolad Noach, va'tishaches ha'aretz lifnei Elokim. And the land had become shachas. In this case, we understand it to mean corrupt. Va'timalei ha'aretz chamas. And the land is filled with chamas, right? Vayar Elokim es ha'aretz v'hinei nishchasa, and God sees the land, and behold, it's shachas, it is corrupted. In other words, it's destroyed. But there's a moral element to it over here. Ki yishchis kol basar es darko, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. So now Hashem says, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with robbery, and behold, I am about to destroy them from the earth. Ki hishchis. So when we talk about shachas, we're talking about like not just a physical destruction, there's also a spiritual component to it as well. So when the Navi tells us that Midian comes in and, you know, Vayashchisu es ha'aretz,
where is it?
In Shoftim?
Yes.
Pasuk 4. Vayachanua aleihem vayashchisu es yivol ha'aretz. Pasuk 5, end of the pasuk, they're there like locusts. Vayavo'u ba'aretz l'shachata. Right? So there's a notion of physical destruction. There's also a notion of spiritual decimation going on here. The question is, what are the people responding to? Vayihi ki za'aku b'nei Yisrael. Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. And the Jewish people cry out to Hashem. So what was the impetus for their crying out to Hashem?
They were fearful and suffering.
Right? They were fearful. Right? They're looking around and there's utter destruction going on everywhere. So, you know, this cycle of oppression and then God sending a savior and then people crying out, then God sending a savior and then there being peace and quiet and then the cycle repeating itself is not unfamiliar to us, right? But look carefully at the pasuk. What are they responding to? Vayihi ki za'aku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. And when the Jewish people cried out to Hashem, al odot Midian, because of Midian.
The impoverishment. They weren't fearful. Everything was being taken away from them.
Right. So clearly they were there was fear over here because they were going underground. There was also just impoverishment, right, because of Midian. Right. The question is, do they draw a spiritual component?
Right.
Is there any? Right. Is there any of that going on?
Can't really tell yet.
Right. So let's read the next pasuk, and maybe the next pasuk will indicate to us. Vayishlach Hashem ish navi al bnei Israel. God sent a prophet to bnei Israel. Vayomer lahem. And the prophet shows up and he says, he introduces himself. Hi, my name is Ishnavi. Ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael Anochi Helesi Eschem Mitzrayim Votzi Eschem Beis Avadim. He's representing Hashem. So said Hashem, I'm the one who took you out of Mitzrayim and I brought you out of Beis Avadim. Votzi Eschem Yad Mitzrayim Umiyad Kol Ochatzeim. And I saved you from Mitzrayim and from all the oppression of Mitzrayim. And I drove them away from you. And I gave you their land. And I said to you at that time, and I told you, don't fear the Amori kings, and you didn't listen to me. Do not fear the Amorite gods, the Amorite gods, and you didn't listen to me. So that's his introduction. Hi, I'm here. Now, if you were introducing yourself, you know, as the savior, let's say, of the Jewish people, or as at least a conduit of the savior, what would be your opening line? Would it be the same or would it be different?
Do tshuva.
Well, did Moshe Rabbeinu even say that to us at first when they came to Mitzrayim?
Oh.
I don't know. He just attacked Pharaoh.
Well, he comes to the Jewish people. He says, Ayah sent me. God says, he says, Ayah, sure, Ayah.
I mean, he doesn't introduce him. I don't think he said to us, let's just fall so far below the bar that you guys need to step up. Like, he seems to be waving his finger at them. Like, I did all this.
I'm just looking for the pasuk here.
Where are you, Rabbi?
Pasuk, chapter 4 in Shmos. Chapter 4 in Shmos. Actually, end of chapter 4. Vayedaber Aaron Eskol Adverim Asher Dibrei Moshe. Vayishmu Ki Fakat Hashem Esmenil V'chira Asen Yom Vayiktu Vayishtachu. V'achar Moshe Bo Vayemur El Paro. So he basically comes and does a quick hello and then goes straight to Paro. So
sounds pretty typical to me.
Sounds pretty what?
It does sound typical when the Rebbe comes along and he says, if you have a Mitzrayim, I mean, isn't that a common way of saying, I did all this for you, and look how you behave.
So, by okay, so by okay, so this. Well, I'm not saying if it's usual or not. I'm asking the question: did the Jewish people at this point, were they back on the straight and narrow, or is this after tshuva or before tshuva that the Navi shows up? It says Vayizaku, they cry out, and the Navi shows up.
I once heard that the fact that they cried out is like
right, but what is and that might be the case. I'm asking you to infer from the words of the pasuk. Vayihi zaku bnei Yisrael, they cried out. So that would indicate some form of regret or some, you know, some type of, you know, recognition. They're calling out to Hashem. Right?
Because as soon as they did that Hashem sent the man, sent the Navi.
Okay. And what does the Navi say? Here, let me give you this example. You're 18, 19 years old. You leave home, you're going to college, you're going to live on your own, and you don't call your parents for 3 months.
That's my brother.
Right? You call home, and your mother says, "I'm so glad you called. I never hear from you."
Of course.
Right? Okay. So that's so it could be, "I'm so glad you called. It's so nice to hear from you." It's, "I'm so glad you called. I never hear from you." So what does the Navi say? Does he say, "I'm so glad you called, nice to hear from you"? Or does he say, "I'm so glad you called, I never hear from you"?
The latter. He doesn't say, "I'm so glad you called."
Right, well.
You did not heed my voice.
He just said, "You didn't listen to me."
Right, exactly. You didn't listen.
You didn't listen.
The first words out of their mouth, out of the Navi.
Everything I did for you, I brought you up.
Right.
It doesn't work.
It does not work.
V'lo shamatem b'koli. Those are the first words out of his mouth. Now, who do they need to show up to resolve their problem? They need
a
what?
A hero.
They need a hero. Right, they need somebody who's going to throw off the yoke of Moab.
Right.
I mean of Midian.
Yeah.
But who do they get instead? Yeah, they get a prophet.
Well, that's a great point.
So Bnei Yisrael is probably thinking, "You sent the wrong guy."
Thanks a lot.
Right, you know, I'm chalishing away over here. Right, I'm chalishing away, and all you have to tell me is how bad I am. So if you read the psukim from this perspective, it seems to me pretty clear that Hashem responds to them in their time of need, not necessarily but what they want, but really what they need right now, or at least simultaneous, right? So Hashem sends a Tanavi to say, "Listen, this is what you're experiencing here in the physical dimension of the universe is a reflection of a spiritual corruption. You're seeing shachas, but I'm seeing shachas." Right? This might be the same word, but two different shachases. right? It was the shachas of the door of the mabul, of the moral corruption, that then led to God's decision of a physical destruction, a moral destruction that leads to a physical destruction. So the Navi comes along and he says, you're looking at decimation and destruction all around you. You have to look beyond that a little bit. Because if you want to that's just a symptom. If you want to deal with the symptom, you have to go to the core root of the problem. So that's what I'm here for.
You?
What? And I don't think... I might be here for that, but woefully incapable. Vayavo Malach Hashem. And now a Malach of Hashem comes. Now, whether it's a different one or the same one, that's open for interpretation. But Vayavo Malach Hashem, Vayeshev Tachas Ha'ela, Asher Biofra, the Malach of Hashem, which could also be another way of saying the Navi, the messenger of Hashem. Malach is a messenger. Comes and sits under the Ela, the terebinth tree, apparently a favorite in Tanakh. Asher Biofra, right? Asher Liyoash Avi HaEzri, which belongs to Yoash Avi HaEzri. V'gidon bino chovet chitim bagat l'hanis mipnei Midyan. And Gidon.
This was threshing wheat.
Yeah, he was threshing wheat.
To hide it from Midyan.
L'hanis mipnei Midyan. Right, to hide it. L'hanis, I think, has an implication of stealing away, running away. It's not just hiding. It's running away and hiding. You know,
smuggling almost.
Right. Yeah. Maybe even like smuggling, like to get it. L'hanis mipnei Midyan. Vayira elav malach Hashem, and the malach Hashem appears to him. Vayomer elav Hashem imcha gibor hachayil, and he says, God is with you, O strong man of valor. Right? Vayomer elav Gidon, bi Adoni, v'yesh Hashem imanu. V'lama mitzasam. One second before we go to Gidon's response. So here the malach Hashem shows up. So first of all, if we can think back to other places in Chumash where Malach Hashem shows up. So first we have the beginning of Shmos. So let's go back to Shmos for a second. Moshe Rabbeinu is going about the desert. Perek Beis. Where are we? So Moshe Rabbeinu is here. Perek Gimel. Moshe haya ro'eh Shmos Perek Gimel. Moshe haya ro'eh Tzon Yisro. Moshe was tending to the sheep, and he walked the sheep across the desert. Vayera malach Hashem elav b'lavas eish mitoch hasneh. And Moshe sees this burning bush. But the burning bush is described, not simply as a burning bush. Vayera malach Hashem elav b'labat esh mito chasna. And an angel of God appears to Moshe in this conflagration, this burning conflagration within the sneh. So even though we call it a burning bush, but it's Labat Esh Mitochasne. Malach Hashem in a Labat Esh Mitochasne. Vayar, and he sees it, and he says, you know, and he goes on. So similarly, we have over here, a Malach Hashem shows up. Malach Hashem shows up. Right. Now, what did the Malach Hashem tell Moshe at the burning bush? After he says, take off your shoes. You know, don't drag the mud in. Right? What does he say to him? Vayomer Anochi Elokei Avicha. I am the God of your father, your forefathers. Vayomer Hashem Ra'o Ra'isi Asani Ami Hashem Yitzrayim. I see the suffering of my nation in Egypt and their cries. Va'ered lahatzilo, and I'm going to save them, and I will bring them to the Eretz HaTova, Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, the land of the Knani Chiti Amori Prizi Chidi Yavusi. And I see all the stress that they're under. And therefore, so Moshe says, well, that sounds great.
Right?
But,
it's an angel.
Well, it is Hashem. The next pasuk says that Hashem speaks, but you know, but it also said it was the Malach. So, you know, point of the matter is that after Hashem says that he recognizes and sees what's going on, he says to Moshe, "And I have a job for you."
You're the man.
Right? You're the man. You're going to go take care of it. You're going to go speak to Paro. You're going to save my people. You're going to bring them out of Egypt. Right? And Moshe says, well, who am I? What am I? What am I going to tell the people? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? Etc., etc. So keep one finger over here. And now, let's go back here. So Malach Hashem comes and speaks to Gidon. Moshe was attending to his sheep, and Gidon was threshing wheat. Both very mundane acts, actually, if you think about it. And he says to him, Gidon, be Adoni. Vayomer Elav Gidon, be Adoni, be Yesh Hashem Imanu. V'lama mitzasanu kol zos, v'yei kol neflos av asher sipru lanu v'seinu lemor halom mitzrayim elanu Hashem, v'atanet Hashanu Hashem v'yitneinu b'kaf midyan. So the Malach says, Hashem is with you, you, O man of valor. And Gidon responds, somewhat nonplussed by the whole thing. Actually, I take that back. He was plussed. He was actually a little annoyed. He was antagonistic. Right, he was confrontational, oppositional. Says, is Hashem really with us? Where is he? Where are all the niflos? Where are all the wonders that we were talked about that happened to our forefathers, took us out of Egypt, and now look how low and downtrodden we are. Vayitneinu b'chaf midyan. We are in the hands of Midian. Apparently, that's like the lowest of the low. The biggest indignation. Right? Read the pasuk carefully. Halo mimitzrayim helanu Hashem. Biatani tashanu Hashem. Right? What's pasuk 13? Hashem has brought it. For now, Hashem has deserted us. And he has delivered us into the grip of Midian. Not enough that he's deserted us, but look who he's put us into. Midian. I mean, these are the people that, you know, that were vanquished earlier on. Hashem says, go. The Hoshata es Yisrael mikaf Midyan. You're going to save the Jewish people from the palm of Midyan. Halo shalachticha. That is why I'm sending you.
So, but they didn't do it. All they did was cry out.
Yes. So what is his mission? What is his mission? He says, Lech b'kochacha v'hoshata es Yisrael mikaf Midyan, halo shalachticha. How are you going to save them? I'm saying that. How is Gidon going to save them? It can't just be that he's going to, you know, use might to get rid of Midyan. Midyan is not there as a consequence of might. Midyan is there as a consequence of the spiritual downfall of Klal Yisrael. He says, Lech v'hoshata, go with strength and save the Jewish people from the hand of Midyan. Halo shalachticha. Behold, that is, I'm sending you on this mission. This shlichus. What does Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu back in, right? He says, you have the pasuk, ki v'zelecha os ki anochi shalachticha. I think there's another language there beforehand even. I'm sending you on this journey.
Neither of them was.
Vamarti lehem, you go tell the Jewish people, Elokei avoseichem shlachani elechem, the God of your fourth and fathers has sent me. Shlichus is different than going to, you know, vanquish the enemy. So he says, I'm sending you lahoshia, oshia, to redeem and save the Jewish people. Halo shalachticha, behold, I've said, how are you going to accomplish this? You have to deal with the spiritual end of it as well. It's not just about the physical dimension. How am I going to do it? Just like Moshe pushed back and said, how am I going to do it? What am I going to do? I mean, a slightly different pushback. But Moshe said, one of his pushbacks was, Kvad Peh, how am I going to speak to Paro? What does Gideon say? He said, I'm just a lowly guy. Al pi hadal b'minashe. Right? Pasuk 15. What am I going to save the Israel with? I'm the most impoverished of Menashe. And I'm the youngest of my father's house. I who am I? Like, that's exactly what Moshe says. Who am I? Vayomer elav Hashem, and Hashem says, what did Hashem say to Moshe? Right? What did Hashem say to Moshe? Let's go back. I mean, the language is so striking, it's worth seeing it. Right? What pasuk are you looking at? Pasuk 12, chapter Shmos 3:12. Vayomer Moshe Elokim, Mi Anochi? Who am I? Vayomer Ki Ehaya Imach. I'll be with you. Okay, and this is what? In biblical Hebrew, it's. Yeah, it's not always feminine like that.
Yeah, well, that's what Hashem said to Yehoshua also, I'll be with you.
Right.
So
it's
with Moshe.
No, so it seems to be like, I think that they're not the ones who save, but they're just there, they're the front. It's the front man.
They're the conduit. Vayomer elav Hashem says to him, you know, stop pushing back, I'm going to be with you. Vikita et Midyan ki ish echad. And you will smite Midian like one man. Do me a favor. If you're really who you say you are, give me a sign. Moshe Rabbeinu said something very similar to that. Okay. Right? Let's look back in Shmos. Pasuk 15. Vayomer Elokim Moshe. Lech Vasafta. Let's see, where is it? They're sending you to the land of milk and honey. Where is it? Chapter 4. Moshe says, the people aren't going to believe me. So he says, you know, what's in your hand? The staff. So he gives them, you know, the first sign. He gives them the second sign.
They say it's only going to happen when he leaves.
Right, v'lo yishmu l'kol os harishon. If they don't listen to the first sign, I'll give you a second sign. He gives them shnei osos, two signs. So over here, Gideon says to him, by the way, if I find favor in your eyes, can you do me a favor? Give me a sign, sha'ata mitaber imi. What does that mean? Asita li os, sha'ata mitaber imi. What does that mean? Pasuk 17. Yeah. Right. So I want proof that I guess that I'm actually that you know, you're representing who you say you're representing. Do you have a calling card? I once knew a guy who he gave me a card. He said, here, this is my card. You look at it, it says my card. Right? And then he says, no, I'm just kidding. This is my real card. And then it says, my real card. All right, so they wanted a calling card. Vayargid.
But what could it be? In other words, I understand in this era, it could be in 21st century, it could be some practical jokers. And there have been movies made like that. But we're talking well before the internet and well before the technology. Like,
yeah, there were false prophets, there were false Nevi'im, right? Nevi'i Sheker, Nevi'i Baal, right? Eliyahu deals with them later on in very large measure. So he says, do me a favor, make a sign. Al na tamush mize ad bo yelecha v'otzesias min chasi v'hinachti lefanecha v'yomer anochi yeshev ad shuvecha. So Pasuk 18. He says to him, please do not depart from here until I return to you. I will bring forth my tribute and place it before you. He said, I shall remain until you return. So who's the he talking to? Who's talking to whom? It's a little unclear. But yeah, so he's asking the guy to wait. V'gidon ba, he comes. V'yas gedi izim ve'efat kemach matzos. And he brings a it doesn't say a paschal ham, but he brings gedi izim, and he brings matzah, a little soup, v'hamarak, samba parur, right? He put meat in a basket, put the broth in a pot, he brought it out to the man, and he presented it, and then the angel of Hashem says to him, take the meat and the matzahs and place them on that rock and pour out the broth, and he did so. And then, Pasuk 19, V'gidon ba v'yaskidi izim, Pasuk 21, V'yishlach malach Hashem et k'tzeh ha-mishenet asher bi'ado, he takes out his staff, it's not called a mateh, but he has a staff. Vayigaba basar v'matzot, and he taps the meat and the matzah. Vatala esh min atzur v'tochal et ha-basar v'tamatzot u'malach Hashem halach me'inav. And apparently fire emerges and burns up everything, and the malach disappears. So that's a good sign. What? Yeah. Vayar Gidon ki malach Hashem hu. So Gidon sees, apparently it is an agent of Hashem. Vayomer Gidon, aha Hashem Elokim, ki alken ra'isi malach Hashem, panim el panim. Right? I've witnessed an angel of Hashem face to face. Now, Vayomer lo Hashem, and now Hashem says to him, Shalom lecha al tira lo tamus, peace be upon you, don't fear, you will not die. And Gidon builds a mizbeach, and he calls out, and he calls it Hashem Shalom. Adayom azel deno be'ofrat aviha Ezri. So, it seems like the whole first part of the story here is really just getting Gidon on board, and not even so much getting Gidon onto the job, to accept the position, but even, maybe Gidon to sort of understand what the issues at hand are over here. He was not able to see Yad Hashem until like some major event occurs, until this burning of the thing. He says, "Oh, now he sees it's an angel of Hashem," and he builds a mizbeach. But where did Gidon start? Gidon started by, "Where's Hashem? Where are all the wonders and everything that we heard about in Egypt?" It sounds like he's entirely oblivious to the spiritual failures of Klal Yisrael at the time. So perhaps some of this is even just about sort of getting Gidon to be able to see what's going on. If the leader can't see what's going on, then there's no shot. All right. Okay, so we're going to pause here. Parak Vav begins with appointing Gidon as the savior of Klal Yisrael. And that appointment comes with many, many, many parallels, drawing our attention back to Moshe being appointed. Now, it's interesting that this happens. This story happens after after the Az Yashir, which also has all those Moshe parallels that we spoke about. But over here, it's like going back in time. This is taking us back to Moshe, before the Yetzias Mitzrayim, before everything. So it's like the story, we're cycling again to a new shofet, to a new period in time. But apparently, as much as Devorah was really remarkable, as we spoke about in great length, Gidon also was rather remarkable. And the Navi is clearly drawing our attention back to Moshe. And I think that the purpose, again, is to reflect the spiritual destitute of Klal Yisrael at the time, and the savior status of Gidon, who is responding. And if it's not exactly the same story, but it's parallel, both in the depth of Bnei Yisrael's spiritual deprivation, and in the redemption that Gidon has to bring forth. So we pause here, just at the outset of the story of Gidon. And Bezrat Hashem will continue next week. Yeah.